Elisa McNabney was smart, beautiful, and yearning for more from life than her small Florida town could give her. Her ambitions pointed her west, where she eventually met successful attorney Larry McNabney. While Larry is smitten with the sexy and mysterious Elisa, she's mesmerized by his big fat bank account. Against the advice of friends and family, Larry makes the enigmatic Elisa his bride, and it's a decision he will live to regret. Hello, and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I am your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love, and this week I'm putting a spotlight on part one of the case I'm calling, also known as murder. Elisa McNabney was born Laren Renee Sims in 1966 in Attleboro, Massachusetts, once known as the jewelry capital of the world, to Jesse and Jackie Sims, the second of their four children. The family later moved to Brooksville, Florida, described by author Brian J. Karim to 2020 as being smaller than Mayberry. The Sims were a prominent, well-known, and wealthy family in Brooksville, located between Tampa and Gainesville, going back generations upon generations, a small town where, like Cheers, everybody knows your name. Laren's father, Jesse, ran the family business, Sims Machine and Controls, and served as president of the Manufacturers Association of Hernando County. And in this tiny town, Laren is a standout. She was a cheerleader at Hernando High School and even modeled locally. She scored good grades and notched an IQ of 140, which basically means you can call yourself a genius. Despite working hard to make those good grades, Laren makes time for fun, her weekends devoted to Saturday afternoons on the beaches of Pine Island, hanging out at Louie's bowling alley, or sneaking beer with her friends, who, like her, were part of the cool crowd. With her dark eyes, bright smile, and vivacious personality, Laren just seemed to have a way of mesmerizing people. Besides being smart, beautiful, and popular, as Laren's classmate, Clarinda Sadler, told the Tampa Bay Times, quote, all the guys were in love with her. Thomas Testa, deputy DA for San Joaquin County, echoed this to Dateline, saying, quote, she was a stunner physically, but more importantly, she had a control over men that just amazed me. She was able to say jump and the men would say, how high. This is clearly a girl who has everything in the world going for her. But for this seemingly all-American teenager, life is about to take its first wrong turn. As her mother Jackie told the Tampa Bay Times about her daughter, quote, Laren's life seemed to change and she began to make some wrong choices. For starters, she drops out of high school before graduating, getting married at 18 and having a baby in 1985 at the age of 19, a little girl she named Haley. And by the age of 20, she divorced her husband and had another baby, this time a son by the name of Cole, with another man. Laren's next set of bad decisions would involve petty theft. Despite working at the insurance agency owned by a family friend, Laren, for reasons, started stealing as her side hustle. $50 worth of feather plumes, $1,000 worth of ceramic clowns, a box of L'Oreal hair color from a Woolworths in Tampa that cost a whopping $4.39. Finally, all of those wrong turns landed 25-year-old Laren in jail. In a letter she wrote to a court clerk from her cell, Laren seemed to show remorse for her crimes, writing, quote, anyone who goes to prison and does not learn their lesson deserves to go back. I am here my first time. I pray it is my last. I have learned. Well, she didn't learn, because while her words may have sounded sincere and contrite, they weren't. Because as soon as the first-time offender was released and ordered to wear an ankle monitor, Laren proceeded to steal someone's credit card, which was a violation of her probation. She was arrested again, released on bail, and this time, Laren said, to hell with this, and she cut off the ankle monitor, put her daughter in the car, and took off for Las Vegas. And it's 1995 when Laren shows up in Las Vegas and she needs a job. And she finds one with Larry McNabney. Lawrence Larry Williams McNabney, who is a native of Nevada, was born in 1948 to Jim and Marie McNabney. Larry attended Reno High School, graduating in 1966 before he headed to the University of Nevada at Reno, where he received a bachelor's degree in 1970. Larry then set his sights on law school, graduating from the University of the Pacific's McGeorge School of Law in 1974, finishing near the top of his class. The super ambitious Larry passed the bars in both California and Nevada before going to work for the Washoe County Public Defender's Office. He would go on to establish a criminal defense practice for several years before a turn as a special deputy district attorney. After being federally appointed as a defense attorney in what was known as the Company case, the longest federal drug trial in U.S. history, Larry hung it up and retired. However, the itch to practice law was too great, and after 3 years, Larry came out of retirement and moved back to Reno, where he established a personal injury practice, eventually opening offices in Sacramento, California, Elko, Nevada, and Las Vegas. The Tampa Bay Times described the tall, tan, dark-haired Larry as, quote, restless, always trying something new, running marathons, buying a Harley, joining a school of enlightenment in Washington to study ancient wisdom. He was always searching for something that was missing. The paper also said he was prone to, quote, dark moods, and spent many a night glued to the bar stools of Nevada's plentiful casinos, always with a drink in hand. He was known for disappearing for days and weeks at a time, always showing up later full of regrets and apologies and promising to do better. Despite these demons, Larry took the practice of law quite seriously. The Tampa Bay Times noted he had a commanding presence in the courtroom, possessing, quote, a deep voice that charmed juries. Juries weren't the only thing that Larry charmed, as he also had quite a way with women. He'd been married 4 times. To another lawyer, a doctor, a hairdresser, a Christian. According to the Tampa Bay Times, 2 of his wives said he was violent and that they had restraining orders against him. Larry's second wife said he slammed her head into a car and choked her. Larry hires Laren, who's now going by the name of Elisa Rettelsberger, to manage his offices, and she turns out to be quite the ballbuster, browbeating insurance companies into paying out monster settlements for clients and taking over every aspect of the office. Despite having no legal background or even a college degree, Elisa, as she's now calling herself, seems to be made for the practice of law. As the Tampa Bay Times noted, Larry would tell his friends that Elisa, who was 17 years younger than he was, quote, as ruthless as he was, which apparently is some kind of an aphrodisiac, because 2 months after meeting Elisa, Larry cut his girlfriend of 7 years loose and moved in with Elisa. So Larry was kind of mesmerized by how unpredictable, Elisa was. Nancy Elkoff, who was the advertising manager for Larry's Reno and Las Vegas offices for 4 years, told the Reno Gazette Journal, quote, I could tell he was completely smitten with her right away, and he told me, I know Elisa's got this wild side, but I don't care. So he knew she was just wild, and it really appealed to him. However, not everyone is as in love with Elisa as Larry was, with his friend fellow attorney Tom Mitchell telling the Tampa Bay Times about his buddy's new girlfriend, quote, something wasn't right, saying, for example, you would ask her where she went to high school, and pretty soon you'd be talking about skiing. And Larry's 3 kids? Well, they couldn't find out anything more about Elisa than Larry's friends could. Kristen Olson, one of Larry's daughters, told Lifetime's Deadly Wives, quote, Elisa never talked about any of her background. I couldn't have told you where she was from, how many brothers and sisters she had, if she had any. And Larry's other daughter, Tavia, told the Reno Gazette Journal that Elisa contributed to her father's relapse back into substance abuse, saying, quote, he was sober at the time, but Elisa got him back on drugs and alcohol. It was a party lifestyle for both of them. Every day was a party with her in Las Vegas. Tavia also thought her father's new girlfriend was a gold digger, telling the Reno Gazette Journal that she warned her dad against getting involved with Elisa, saying, quote, I had told my dad, my brother, my husband, and my mom that she was a black widow. I always had meant that in terms of money. I just thought she was a very greedy person. Eventually, Elisa's old stealing habits caught up with her. First, when Larry caught her stealing money out of his wallet, and worse, when the Nevada State Bar found she had embezzled $250,000 from the business. Larry, rightfully so, was scared, and ultimately, he received a reprimand from the state bar. And Elisa? She received a marriage proposal. Yes. Instead of firing his thieving girlfriend in 1996, just after a year of knowing her, Larry put a ring on it. To paraphrase the late, great Rick James, whatever Elisa had, it was a hell of a drug. And like most addicts, attempts to cut Larry off from his drug of choice, which in this case was Elisa, it couldn't be done. Fred Acheson, who had been friends with Larry for 34 years, told the Reno Gazette-Journal that when he expressed to Larry that he might want to dump Elisa because she couldn't be trusted, instead, the relationship that Larry ended was the one with Fred. According to what Fred told the paper, quote, Larry called me up and talked to me about how Elisa was a thief. He said, I don't even know who this lady is. I suggested he get rid of her, and I think that affected our relationship. Once I chimed in on that, I didn't hear from him again. So because Elisa wasn't allowed to work for Larry anymore in the state of Nevada because of the whole embezzling from his business, in 1998, the newlyweds pull up stakes and move to Sacramento for a fresh start, opening up a whole new law firm. Larry and Elisa made a splash with this new firm, creating a new persona for Larry for a spate of local television commercials based on the Marlboro Man. You know, that's the old cigarette ad. Larry, decked out in a cowboy hat, fringe leather jacket, riding around on the mountains on a horse, simply told viewers, call me. And they did. Because the clients came pouring in, and so did the money. Larry and Elisa did very well with this new firm. As Larry's ex-girlfriend, Cheryl Tangen, told Deadly Wives about Elisa, quote, she spent his money like crazy. Larry and Elisa lived in an exclusive gated community. They had custom-made Jaguars. They owned prize-winning horses. And horses, in fact, seemed to bring the couple even closer together. Larry, who, as I mentioned, he often rode horses in his TV commercials, participated in numerous horse shows across the country, the quarter horse in particular being his favorite, saying, quote, the quarter horse as a breed is absolutely the best. An amateur like myself gets to grow with the breed and meet wonderful people along the way. For her part, Elisa had always wanted a horse, and their fat new bank accounts meant she could finally have one. So Elisa and Larry are enjoying the extremely high life, so much so that Larry, who was in his late 40s, he started kicking back more, and as a result was spending a lot less time in the office, which no problem because Elisa was pretty much running things anyway. Still, she couldn't do everything, so she brought in some help. And this is where Sarah Dutra enters the chat. Sarah was a student at Sacramento State University studying art. She was tall and blonde and enjoyed playing the piano in her spare time. Seems like kind of an odd fit for a law office, but nevertheless, Elisa brings Sarah in to help her at the firm, and right away, these two far from dumb blondes clicked. Thomas Testa, who is the deputy DA for San Joaquin County, told Deadly Wives, quote, something about their personalities just meshed. They just fed off of each other. It was symbiotic, codependent, whatever word you want to use to describe it. So Sarah and Elisa, they take their friendship to like junior high levels. For one, they would wear each other's clothes. They would sleep in the same bed together like they're having, you know, slumber party. They went on lavish shopping trips together. Just frickin' frack. You did not see one without the other. And all of this crazy spending is on Larry's dime, which of course Larry is not down with. And he told Elisa, you know what, this is getting out of hand. But Elisa's like, I'm doing me, see? And she kept right on joining her hip to Sarah's. So by this point, September of 2001, Elisa decides that much the way Larry had semi-retired, she too wanted to scale back. Mostly she wanted to spend every spare moment with Sarah. So Larry and Elisa were in LA at a horse show, and Sarah showed up, crashing their weekend. Elisa had invited her, but Larry had not. Big knockdown, drag-out fight ensues, and that's when Larry draws his line in the sand. He's had enough of Sarah always being around, and he says to Elisa, fire her. So Larry's mad at Elisa and Sarah. Elisa and Sarah are mad at Larry, and an enraged Sarah storms out of the hotel and gets on a plane back to Sacramento. However, Elisa summons her back to LA, and she complies. The next day, which is September 10th, 2001, Larry was supposed to be competing at the horse show. He was one of the top contenders and was known to love the pomp of the shows, one of his most favorite activities in particular being parading his stallion around the ring. However, he was out of it, disoriented, and in fact was being pushed around in a wheelchair. This was not the commanding showman that everyone was used to. He told people he felt sick and was going back to his hotel room. The next morning, horse show friends saw that there was a do not disturb sign on the door of his hotel room. Elisa later claimed that she and Larry had had a big fight and he left. And this is just beyond fakakta because she actually starts trying to give away Larry's things, including his very expensive ostrich skin boots, and she herself is wearing her husband's Rolex and diamond horseshoe ring. And worse than that, friends said that Elisa declared, quote, Larry is never coming back. Believe me, where he is, he'll never want these again. Whew. Meanwhile, back in Sacramento, Ginger Miller, who was hired to run the office, shows up for her first day of work, but nobody is there. She waits for a couple of hours, and finally, a disheveled Sarah shows up and tells her to just answer the office phones. One of the calls is from someone at a medical supply company looking for Sarah or Elisa, upset because the wheelchair they loaned out to the women hasn't been returned. Finally, later that same day, Elisa shows up and says that Larry is golfing and he won't be in the office. Over the next few weeks, there are all kinds of bizarre things happening at Larry McNabney and Associates. For one, Ginger is sent to the DMV because Elisa has told her that Larry has decided he no longer wants his red pickup truck and he's going to sell it. So if Larry is supposed to be golfing and he just out of the blue says, well, sell my pickup truck. That doesn't make any sense. Ginger also sees that Elisa and Sarah are forging Larry's name to all kinds of things, including checks. And they have Ginger moving money out of the law firm accounts and into companies owned by Elisa. Elisa also has Ginger lying to people about where Larry is. It's anything from he's golfing to he's at a retreat, he's at a conference, he's off doing yoga, he's in rehab, he's in Costa Rica, he's at a hippie commune. You know, it's like, where in the world is Larry McNabney? Now, remember that Larry is known for disappearing for large chunks of time on benders. So for friends and family, initially anyway, Larry going off the grid doesn't raise any alarm bells. So all this time, Ginger is doing what she's told, but it's obviously weird. The whole thing is just strange. But Elisa decides, I guess preemptively, she decides to take her new employee into her confidence and shares that she's in a bad marriage, that Larry's alcoholism has gotten so bad that he's back in rehab. She goes on to say that she just doesn't think she can make the marriage work, but is doing everything she can to keep the law firm going. Ginger, ever the dutiful employee, agrees to help Elisa keep the firm humming. Elisa, meanwhile, her trusty sidekick Sarah, attached to her hip, buys a new Jaguar, and Thelma and Louise hightail it to Reno for fun and games, leaving Ginger alone to keep Larry McNabney and Associates running. And Elisa and Sarah are running around without a care in the world. More shopping, more partying, more living it up on the absent Larry's dime. Meanwhile, creditors are calling by the hour, and one are not adding up to two. It is a total shiz show. And the shiz is really about to start raining down on this house of cards. Tune in next week for part two on The Dark Side of Love, where Elisa and Sarah's web of lies start to fall apart and the truth about what happened to Larry is revealed. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I am your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes. And you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about the dark side of love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me, and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you.